Well, before I come to the message today, I want to encourage those of you who were praying some time ago about the cage. You heard me mention the cage, that den of iniquity in John Street in the city. Well, the good news is it's closed. And apparently it's been closed for the last 2 months. There's a to let sign up outside the building. So God has obviously answered prayer and stepped in. So I just want to encourage you today. You know, sometimes when you see what's happening in our country and you hear the vote that took place on Tuesday, you're inclined to think, well, everything's going against the Christians and everything's going against the Bible, but that's not always the case. In the midst of the battles, thank God there are victories. And that's an example of a victory. And God has answered prayer. So I trust that we'll go to our homes today and that we will give God thanks for that answer to prayer. Of course, we need to pray that that place won't open again. You know, sometimes these places close down for a period of time, but then they're opened up again and once again become dens of iniquity. But we don't want that to happen this time. So let's really pray about that issue. But that's just to encourage those who have been praying about it. Now, as we have mentioned this morning, we're going to speak on the subject, the myth of gay marriage. The myth of gay marriage. That's the title you could give it. It is a myth. Gay marriage is a myth. Or if you prefer another title, 2 plus 2 is not 5. 2 plus 2 is not 5. You see, our government, they would say to us, oh, well, gay marriage is acceptable and it's possible for two people who are gay to enter into a marriage. It's actually like saying 2 plus 2 equals 5. It doesn't work. It's impossible. It's a myth. Actually, to put those two words together, gay and marriage, it's a contradiction. It's a contradiction in terms. Now, here's something for us to consider. Now, this is relating to the more general subject of sodomy. But we read in Genesis chapter 18 about three men who came to Abraham. One of them was the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that? I read in Genesis chapter 18 that one of those three men was the Lord. Some people think, oh, they were just three angels who came. But actually, two of them were angels, but one was the Lord, one was Jesus. Theologians call it a theophany. The Lord Jesus Christ taking upon himself a human body before he came to Bethlehem in the pages of the Old Testament. And that's what was happening in Genesis chapter 18. Jesus Christ came to Abraham. Now, why did he come? Well, he came to Abraham with the two angels to go to Sodom. Those three individuals were on their way to Sodom. Why were they going to Sodom? To destroy it. How can that be? The meek and mild Jesus. The man who said, love your enemies. Is it possible that he would destroy a city because of homosexuality? Yes, that's exactly what he did. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did in Genesis chapter 19. The Bible tells us that the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And Jesus Christ, the gracious, merciful Son of God, who shed his blood on Calvary's cross, that all sinners might be saved. Yes, the same person went to Sodom and he poured fire and brimstone upon homosexuals. You see, there's a lot of people don't realize that. There's a lot of people even say, now you may find this hard to believe, they'll even say, oh, Jesus had gay friends. Did you not know, preacher, Jesus had gay friends? Well, my Bible doesn't tell me any such thing. Yes, it says that he was friends with publicans and sinners. But there's nothing to suggest that Jesus was friends with those who were continuing in a sinful lifestyle. The Lord Jesus Christ never condoned any sin. There's people who have the idea, oh, well, Jesus met gay people and he was friendly with gay people and he didn't judge them. He didn't say, now you've got to repent and turn away from that lifestyle. Oh, Jesus wouldn't be so judgmental. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what the Scriptures teach. Oh yes, if those who were involved in the Sodomite lifestyle, if they came to Jesus for forgiveness and cleansing, he took them in, he forgave them, he showed mercy on them, because Jesus came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. But at the beginning of the message today, I want us to get that clear in our minds. The very same person, who was the friend of publicans and sinners in the New Testament, that very same person in the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 19, he poured out his wrath upon Sodom and Gomorrah because they were gay. Now, you're maybe saying today, why are you preaching to the converted? Because I trust that you all have the same opinion. You realize that sodomy, that the homosexual lifestyle is an abomination. Why am I preaching to the converted today? Here's the reason. So that you can go out into that world and preach the same message. And tell the same message. Oh, you say, we couldn't say that today. You can't say such a thing. You can't come out with such a thing today. Oh, yes, you can. And you know what our country needs? Do you know, brothers and sisters in Christ, what our country needs today? We need people like you to go out into the world and to say exactly what I'm saying from this pulpit today. And you see, when you say it, then somebody else will get courage to say it too. But you know what's happening in Britain today? Everybody's quiet. Shh, 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 shh. Don't say anything that will offend. Don't say anything that's not politically correct. Everybody's quiet. Nobody's speaking up. Now, there's a lot of people are thinking what I'm saying today, but they're not prepared to speak up. But if only people would speak up, you would find that the tide would turn. You would find that there would be a great change. That one person after another and one preacher after another would find the courage to speak up and to tell the truth. So let me say it again, the reason, in case you misunderstand, in case you don't understand the reason why we're even touching a subject like this today, it's so that we can all go out from this building and share the same message. Yes, wherever you go, in your workplace, in your home, among family members, in your daily life, we've got to share the message. You see, Jesus said that we are the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth. But you know, the problem today is that there's a whole lot of Christians and they're not very good salt. Because they've lost their savor. You know what it's like whenever salt becomes useless? It's no good when you put it on your dinner. It doesn't make any difference. You might as well be sprinkling baby powder on your dinner. It's lost its savour. In other words, to put it very simply, it has lost its sting. Lost the sting. Lost the bite. Sad to say, there's a whole lot of people today, and they would say, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm evangelical. With the emphasis on the jelly. But they've lost their savour. They're not prepared to speak up. Oh, that God would put in our hearts a passion, a fire, a zeal to speak the truth. Now we speak it in love, but we've got to speak the truth. You know, the Bible says that the righteous are bold as a lion. Yes, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. But the righteous, they're bold as a lion. Oh, that God would give us spiritual lions today. Well then, why is it that gay marriage is a myth? Well, first of all, because of the biological argument. The biological argument. Last week we spoke to the children about batteries. Do you remember that? Now you think about a battery for a moment or two. On one end you've got the plus. The other end you've got the minus. Now, if you put two batteries together, and mind you, over the last month or so, I've had to buy quite a few batteries and put them into quite a few toys and games that Santa Claus brought. But if you put two batteries together, and you put the two pluses together, what's going to happen? Nothing. What happens when you put two minuses together? Nothing. Doesn't work. The plus and the minus must go together. You know, that's the way it is when it comes to marriage. That's what the Bible teaches about marriage. You see, the Bible teaches that it's to be male and female. Our government, they seem to think that they know better than God. We are more intelligent than God. We are more educated than God. So we'll just say that gay marriage is okay and two men can be married and two women can be married. How foolish. No, no, the Lord is right and they are wrong. Male and female. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 19. He answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? You can read Genesis 1:27, Genesis 5:2, Genesis 6:19, Genesis 7:16. Each one of those verses emphasize that it's male and female. There's a biological reason why gay marriage is a myth. For it to be true marriage, it has to be male and female. It's got to be a man and a woman, otherwise it just won't work. It's impossible. Of course, there's the other aspect, that if you have two men who are supposedly married, or two women who are supposedly married, well, you can have no reproduction, procreation. Can't take place. There won't be any children. And my, that's a rebellion against Genesis chapter 1. Of course, I hope you know that today. Gay marriage and all that our government are doing, it's a rebellion against Genesis chapter 1, because God said for Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. I tell you, two men are going to have trouble being fruitful and multiplying. Two women are going to have trouble being fruitful and multiplying. No, gay marriage is a myth because of the biological argument. Gay marriage is a myth because of the behavioral argument. Let's put it like that, the behavioral argument. We're thinking about the emotional, psychological. We're thinking about the children. You see, those who support gay marriage are forgetting about the children. You see those boys who stood up in the House of Commons on Tuesday and were arrogant and were proud and were telling everyone that they were going to support the bill? All they're worried about is gratifying their lusts. They're not worried about the little children. You see, the point we're making today is that children need a father and a mother for their emotional and psychological well-being. They need both the father and the mother. They need the father's influence and the mother's influence. The Lord had a reason at the beginning for ordaining marriage to be between a male and a female. Little children need the balance. But what happens when you have two men or two women? Well, the little children lose out. They don't have a father's influence, or they don't have a mother's influence. And the children are harmed. You know, the reality is that homosexuality is an enemy to the family. It's an enemy to the family. You do know, of course, that during the 1960s, when there was what was called the sexual revolution, do you know what the motto of the gay movement was? Listen to it. 2, 4, 6, 8. Smash the family, smash the state. Did you hear that? 2, 4, 6, 8. Smash the family, smash the state. Oh, there's a few red faces now in our nation. Oh, there's people in our nation today that wouldn't like you to say that. They want to smash the family. They're not interested in the children. They're not interested in stable family units. How sad it is that little children are suffering. That little children who are caught and are trapped in these abominable so-called marriages, that they are being damaged and hurt. I don't know whether you buy the Daily Mail, but I like the Daily Mail because they say things just the way they are. They hit the nail on the head on a lot of issues. But recently, I noticed that there was a picture. There was a big spread of Sir Elton John and his partner and the two little children beside them. So sad. So sad. Two men. That's not a marriage. That's a perversion. But my heart went out to the two little children who were sitting beside them. And I couldn't help but think of the damage that those little children are suffering. The emotional, the psychological, the behavioral damage that they will experience. You see, the behavioral argument tells us that gay marriage is a myth. It is a myth. It doesn't work. But then I want to finish today, finally. Not only does the biological argument and the behavioral argument, but of course the biblical argument, makes it plain and clear that gay marriage is a myth. Genesis chapter 2, we read it there. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The Lord Jesus said that the husband and the wife, whenever they come together in marriage, they become one flesh. But if you've got two men and two women, they can't be one flesh. They can never be one flesh. They can never be truly married. The Bible teaches that to have a true, proper marriage, you've got to have the father and the mother. You've got to have the man and the woman. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 19 said, "What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." I think our leaders would need to read that verse. What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. God has joined the male and the female together in marriage. Let not man put it asunder. Let not David Cameron, let not the 400 MPs in Parliament think that they can put it asunder. You see, marriage is the property of God. Let's remember that God is the owner of marriage. Our Prime Minister doesn't own marriage. The 400 MPs who voted for this perversion, they don't own marriage. God owns marriage. And on Tuesday, whenever those MPs voted in favour and in support of that bill, they were rebelling against the ordinance of God, and they were overstepping the mark. They were overstepping the mark. In a sense, you could say they were touching that which is holy. Remember what happened to Uzzah? In the Old Testament, Uzzah stretched out his hand and touched the Ark of the Covenant, and God struck him. He was touching that which was sacred. He was touching that which he had no right to touch. I fear that our government are doing the same as Uzzah. They're committing the same sin. Gay marriage is a myth because of the biological argument, because of the behavioral argument, and because of the biblical argument. The Bible begins with a wedding and it ends with a wedding. And I can assure you it's not two men getting married or two women getting married. Marriage is under attack. You don't need me to tell you that today. But it's interesting when you think about the two ordinances that God established in the Garden of Eden before sin came into the world, before Satan deceived our first parents, God established the Sabbath and marriage. And they're both under attack today. Well, what should our government be doing? Rather than introducing a perversion, an abomination onto the statute books, what should they be doing today? I'll tell you what they ought to be doing. They ought to be supporting traditional marriage. They ought to be reconciling people who have been separated, husbands and wives who have been separated. How many broken homes can we think of today? There's marriages even perhaps in our own families and they're breaking up. And are our government worried? Not a bit. Not a bit. All they want to do is introduce gay marriage. Tunnel vision. That's all they're interested in. They ought to be going around seeking to reconcile men and women, husbands and wives who have broken up, and little children are caught in the middle. That's what they ought to be doing. Instead of trying to redefine marriage, instead of trying to introduce a corrupted and perverted form of marriage, they ought to be standing up for and seeking to support traditional marriages. Oh, that God would step in these days. Oh, that this wicked bill would even be thrown out, that it would never become law. Let's pray to that end. But let's remember our own marriages today. You see, the devil's after your marriage. He's after mine. The attack is underway. And we need to be praying that God would preserve our marriages. You maybe say today, Sure, Christians would never separate. Christian couples would never have any marital problems. Oh, yes, they can. The devil can get in. And we need to be praying in these days, Lord, save our marriages. Lord, protect our homes.